Welcome to Call to Freedom with Barbara Carmack. This is Jimmy Lakey, and I'm delighted that you are joining us for this half hour. You can reach Call to Freedom at Box 370-367, Denver, Colorado, 80237, or by going to the website at www.freedomstreet.org. If you want to leave a message or order a Word-powered daily reading Bible guide or a Freedom Street Express newsletter, you can call us toll-free at 1-877-917-7256 and leave your name and address, including your zip code. Now, let's join Barbara in the studio.
Well, welcome to Call to Freedom. I'm just so grateful to God that you are listening today and you're a friend. You're a friend of Call to Freedom. Yes, you are. A friend of Jesus and a friend of everything that is spiritual and holy and good and kind. So take today to laugh. Take time. Yeah, take some time today to laugh, to smile at simple beauty, even if it's a dandelion. I know I pull up dandelions, but even if it's a dandelion, look at that gorgeous yellow, and to help mend the broken world around you with joy and grace. Because when we see the world as a whole, we see a broken world because man has fallen and is sinful. Our mouths were filled with laughter, our tongues with songs of joy, as Psalm 126, verse 2 says. So fill your mouth with laughter and your tongue with songs of joy. It's just so worth everything. I was thinking about the midterms that are going to happen just a little bit later in this year, and how we need to vote. I am going to be talking about that in the next newsletter, and I talked about that in the August newsletter. If you'd like to look at newsletters, you can go to freedomstreet.org and click on the teaching and or resources, I think. I don't even remember. Oh, hello. And so you can look at the newsletter and scan the articles. I believe they're really good. Holy Spirit gave them to me. So, and some of you have contributed. So thank you so much. And we see the midterms coming up. And one way you can vote is that if that candidate is pro-life, that's 1 point for them. If he or she is pro-Israel, that's another point for them. So you can have set different points and different issues that you're going to vote for a candidate. And I believe that when we're pro-life and we're pro-Israel, that's 2 points in reference to what we're going to be doing. I'm all for them. And so I hope that you are looking at those kind of issues in your home when you're voting in your own life. You are blessed to dispense, for in him you live and move and have your being. And Kimberly, hello. Welcome.
Yes.
Welcome.
Thank you.
Yeah.
I am so blessed by the way the Lord is leading his people. And when you say that we can fill our mouths with laughter, mm-hmm. we can. Mm-hmm. We can choose to laugh. And laughter is actually a very powerful tool in this life.
Yes.
There are things that come up against us, and there are things that happen. When we choose to laugh, we can actually dispel discouragement mm-hmm. and depression, and we can feel the presence of the Lord. He does not laugh in a mocking way. Well, maybe sometimes he does. I'm not saying he never does, but not to mock the situations, just to have the joy of the Lord, because the joy of the Lord is our strength.
Mm-hmm. It really is.
We know that. Yes. And we live by that. Yes. Mm-hmm. You have a memory verse this week that's one of my most favorite of all time.
Me too. Love it.
And it's so hard because actually every time, I feel like every time there's a memory verse,
that's
one's my favorite.
Favorite.
Right? But yes, Psalm 73, verses 25 and 26. And I don't know what versions you've read them in already, and if you want to... if you want to read from Psalm 73 again today.
Yeah, I've read most of them except the Message. I think the Message I haven't. But whom have I in heaven but thee? And besides thee, I desire nothing on earth. My flesh and my heart may fail, but God is the strength of my heart and my portion forever. And I believe if some of you are weak in your body, in your flesh, my flesh and my heart may fail, you know that when you are weak, God is perfected in your weakness, according to 2 Corinthians 12. So we know that even when we are weak in our flesh, God is there to support us. And then in the Message translation, I love this, Psalm 73, 25 and 26. I think I started in 24. When I was beleaguered and bitter, totally consumed by envy. All of us have been there. All of us had looked at them and compared, looked at the neighbors, looked at people in the church and envied them. I was totally ignorant, a dumb ox in your very presence. I love that description. Yes, a dumb ox. Or as I was saying the other day from John 10, a dumb sheep. I'm still in your presence, but you've taken my hand. You wisely and tenderly lead me, and then you bless me. You're all I want in heaven. You're all I want on earth. When my skin sags and my bones get brittle, God is rock firm and faithful. Look, those who left you are falling apart, deserters. They'll never be heard from again. But I'm in the very presence of God. Oh, how refreshing it is. I've made the Lord God my home. God, I'm telling the world what you do. Oh, that's beautiful. So isn't that beautiful? Yes. Oh, Dr. Peterson was right on when he translated that portion of scripture. Praise God.
Yes. Mm. What I love about that whole chapter of Psalm 73 is that the person, Asaph, who wrote it, is recognizing that there are things in this life that we might gravitate toward, that we might want to have in our lives. We might become jealous or envious of the things that we see that other people have. Mm-hmm. And in verse 17 of this whole chapter, after he has been talking about the things that he has seen that the wicked have and everything that he feels like they're blessed with, and here he is wanting those things too. Uh-huh. Yeah. In verse 17, he says, "Then I came into the sanctuary of God."
Yes.
And then I perceived the end of all these things. That's it. And that's what I wanted to talk about today, because we have all these dreams, and the dreams are formed by looking around us in this world.
That's right.
We see homes and we see cars and we see people with status who have education, and we see influence, power. We see positions that we think we might want. Mm-hmm. But then we enter the sanctuary of the Lord.
Yes.
Once you have experienced the sanctuary of his presence, and I'm calling his presence a sanctuary because a sanctuary is a place that is calming and peaceful. You feel satisfied and fulfilled. A sanctuary just brings the best kind of peace to us. Most of us try to plan vacation times in places that we would consider a sanctuary.
Mm-hmm.
A beach or, mm-hmm. you know, a mountain home, a cabin or something that feels like a sanctuary to us. But the Lord's presence is the best sanctuary of all.
That's right. We were just talking about national parks just a few minutes before the radio broadcast. And Kimberly, I was talking about the redwoods. Now, if you are anti-God or you don't want to talk about God or Jesus Christ, when you walk in among those giant trees, we're talking giant trees, and you were saying, yeah, cars can go through some of the trunks that have been hollowed out. And you look at and you say, oh, those are big trees. But when you know the Lord Jesus, when you walk into those sanctuaries of those huge, awesome redwoods, you're saying, oh, God, these are so wonderful, but you are more wonderful than these huge trees. So we have a different right. perspective than the ungodly men and women do. And I'm grateful. I pray that they will come to know the presence of God in their lives.
Yes, and it might start with the things that we observe in this life that we believe are awesome and beautiful and amazing and wonderful. It might start with things, but after a while you start experiencing His actual presence.
Yes.
You get to know Him, and there's nothing like that. There's nothing
That's
like
right.
that. You
That's
can't
right.
you can't compare it to anything in this world. And so that's why He becomes the sanctuary. And it started me thinking about what influences our dreams in this life. We have dreams and hopes and goals, and those goals usually are because of something that we've heard of or seen in this life. And I'm starting to feel really jealous for God to have His dream come true.
Mm-hmm.
What is His dream? Jesus had a dream when He walked on this earth, and He still has that dream.
Yes.
To bring His Father's kingdom to this earth. Yes. And I believe that means the Lord's presence in every situation, in every home, in every human being. Can you imagine? Jesus taught us to pray in Matthew 6:10, "Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven."
Oh, yes.
That is the prayer that we pray to our Father. And so I believe that Jesus' way to bring His Father's kingdom to earth was to only do what the Father showed Him to do and only speak what the Father gave Him to speak.
Yes.
And He mentions this a number of times in the Bible. I made reference to just three of those scripture passages. And one is John 5:19. "So Jesus said to them, 'Truly, truly, I say to you, the Son can do nothing of His own accord, but only what He sees the Father doing. For whatever the Father does, that the Son does likewise.'"
Oh. Praise
That's
God.
From John 5:19.
Yes.
Yeah, so there's one example of Jesus talking about how He only does what the Father is doing, what the Father shows Him.
Mm-hmm.
There's another reference in John 8:28, and He says, this is Jesus talking again, He says, "I do nothing on my own authority, but speak just as the Father taught me."
Oh, praise God. And Jesus is humbling Himself to the point of dying. And in that process, God gives Jesus all authority in heaven and on earth, as He says in Matthew 28, I think it's verse 11, "All authority has been given to me in heaven and earth." So our humbling of ourselves to God, Kimberly, gives us access into that authority that Jesus has. It really does.
Right?
Yeah.
Let me just give one more reference of Jesus saying that he doesn't do anything on His own, and that's John 14:10. And He asks the question, "Do you not believe that I am in the Father and the Father is in me? The words I say to you, I do not speak on my own authority, but the Father who dwells in me does His works."
Mm, praise God.
These are wonderful scriptures to be meditating on and realizing the whole point of being a Christian is to be a Christ follower, to follow in His footsteps and to do the things that Jesus taught us. Well, this is big. Jesus is teaching us here that He didn't do anything, not one thing, without the Father showing Him how to do it, speaking to Him and giving Him the words. And I really do want to be like that. I feel like I've got a long way to go before I'm like that, but I want that in my life.
Yes.
And that's the kind of dream that I want to hold. Those kinds of dreams of having the Lord's will done through me, around me, because He's with me, in spite of me, even. I like to think of it that way because sometimes I get in the way. I get in my own way, and I have to remember that He works in spite of me.
Yes.
Because He is God.
That's right. Yesterday I was talking about sometimes we get out of alignment we're not in alignment or agreement with God. And we need to go to Him and say, Father God, I need some alignment here. So Holy Spirit, thank you for getting me back in line with God. I was off on a tangent for a moment, but I want you. I want to serve you. And that's what we need to do on a regular basis, Kimberly, because our flesh does scream and holler, wanting its own way. And we got to just get back in with God under His covering of Psalm 91, verse 1, be under His covering. Yes.
That takes a lot of calming. I believe I have to calm whatever I'm thinking and whatever's in my flesh, whatever goal or agenda I've got going on. I have to calm it down and say, hold on. Be patient. That might be a vision from your Father, but let's talk to Him about that. You know, and really let the Lord be the one to guide and direct every vision that we have.
Yes.
I don't know if any of you listening have really imagined what that's like to do only what your Heavenly Father has told you to do. I think the idea of that earlier in my life caused me to panic. Because I had too many things I wanted to do. I had too much on my agenda. And so I would be panicked at the thought of giving up my dreams and my agendas and just let Father God have His.
That's right.
The idea to give up your own ideas and goals in order to have someone else live out their dreams, their ideas, their goals.
Yes, that's why.
And through you.
Yes, amen. I'm sorry for interrupting you, but that's why we've got to give the younger generation a lot of grace, because they're in that goal setting time in their life. I'm going to do this and I'm going to do that and I'm going to buy this and I'm going. And so we've got to give them some extra grace because we've been through some of those things, the losses and the achievements and all of that. And what are they worth? Nothing when God stands in our life as the Lord and Savior of our life. So I'm trying to learn to give grace to all these young upstarts that are determined to get goals in their life and set goals and achieve so much in their life. So, you know, it's a process, Kimberly. It really, truly is.
It totally is. Mm-hmm. Right. And I'm watching this younger generation and realizing so many of them actually have a heart for our Heavenly Father more than I did when I was their age. And I'm so excited to see that.
Yes.
I'm really excited about this generation that the Lord is raising up for His glory. And they're not afraid. They're not afraid to really let Him have His way in their lives and let Him direct them, to let Him have His dream come true. Mm-hmm. And that is the lifestyle. That's the very lifestyle that brings true life, when you are letting God have His way.
Yes.
So the word give up, you're not really giving up anything at all. You're gaining everything when you let God have His dream and His ideas and His goal in your life.
Yes.
It's the meaning of Matthew 10:39. If you cling to your life, you will lose it. But if you give up, there's those words again, if you give up your life for me, you will find it. It's not really giving up. It's something that you're gaining that's so much greater. Also, Matthew 16:25 says, yes, if someone wants to save their life, they must lose it. And if anyone loses their life for my sake, they will find it. And it's not just finding your life. It's finding something so much more abundant than you ever imagined.
Yes. Oh, praise God.
It's because that's what we were made for. We were made to be His workmanship, to be His people, to let Him dwell in us and through us at all times. And when we actually settle into our blueprint, I know Papa used to love that word.
Yep, he did.
Yep. When we settle into that blueprint and we actually function the way we were meant to, we find true abundant satisfaction in our lives.
That's right.
It's
go ahead. I think of all of the young girls, the young women who are in athletic sports, and they have been faced with the males who come in and play against them. I'm specifically thinking of swimming and basketball, and how so many of the women, biological women, have been hurt by the men, the trans men who have gone in and done sports. And they are willing to give up their scholarships and all that they could have had to come out and really oppose this woke, this left-wing thing that's going on about men in women's sports. And I really admire that, Kimberly, especially Riley Gaines, who has come first, but now so many more who are coming forward and saying, I'm going to stand up against this. And they will probably lose a spot in the scholarships and the college grants and everything in their future, but they want to stand up against something that is so horrific. And you're right. The young generation is strong. They are willing to stand up against all of the wrong that's going on. I admire them. I really do.
Boldness. Lord is giving boldness.
Yes. He really is.
And it does take a really bold move to give up your own hopes and dreams to have another dream instead of your own. It's a counterintuitive move to make.
Yes.
And if you do that for another human, if you're giving up your own hopes and dreams for a human institution and for the kinds of things that the world promotes, it's very risky.
Yes.
Because humans and institutions of this world use each other.
Oh,
that's
yes.
just a human trait.
Mm-hmm.
John 2:24 talks about Jesus and the way that he handled humans. And I really love this verse. It says, but Jesus, on his part, did not entrust himself to them because he knew all people and he knew what was in man.
That's right. It says in
Jeremiah.
He knew
what was in humankind.
That's right. Mm-hmm. In Jeremiah 17, God is saying the heart is deceitful above all. So Jesus knew what the Father thought about our hearts. And basically our hearts are fallen and they have come from a sin-ridden background. Everybody has sinned and come short of the glory of God. And he didn't entrust himself to them. He loved them, but he did not entrust himself to them. And that's what I love about Jesus. He loves them. He loved the whole world and gave himself, but he doesn't trust himself to them. That's interesting.
Yeah. Wow. I've kind of learned some of that. I think I have trust issues.
Okay.
I love people too. I really love them, but I've also learned they can bite.
I know you
people
are.
Can bite.
You are a very trusting and loving person. You truly are. You're like a magnet. People come to you because you are a loving and trusting person, and that is good. That's good to be to have a gift of mercy and compassion for people. That's something that was foreign to me for years. And I'm gaining in that loving people. But I appreciate that.
Well, I'll tell you the weakness in that is that when you really do love people and you have compassion and mercy, at least for me, maybe not everybody's like this when they are compassionate. I have a tendency to want to trust. And I would call that a weakness because sometimes I would put my trust in the people and not be just looking for God's traits in them and recognizing that they're still fallible, that they can still make mistakes and make choices that do harm.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what we want to be able to see is Christ in us.
Yes.
It's got to be about him. It has to be all about him.
That's in the last few weeks, you have discovered that church that you love, that church that you have attended for 30 years, there are people in that church that you've trusted and you've relied on and you've loved that have turned against what you believe in.
And so,
well, and I'm not even sure, I don't know all the stories because I haven't talked to everyone.
Well, that's true too.
And so this is where I'm also saying that God is in the upheaval. The first thing that I thought about was a lake, you know, how in the different seasons during the year, sometimes a lake just has a big turnover and it looks really muddy. But in another season, it's settled and it looks very clear. Mm-hmm. You can see everything clearly in that lake. I think we're just in this season in our church where we needed something to be turned over. Mm-hmm. And only the Lord knows how to do that really well.
Yes.
God, He's not like a human being. He doesn't use other people. He's a giver. Mm-hmm. And when, you know, last week we were talking about being a receiver or being a resistor.
Yes, very good.
When God is giving, we want to be positioned in a place where we are receiving. And so all of our prayers over the last few weeks here over our church has been in a position of receiving what God wants to do. We're not sure exactly what the motives were that other people had, what their agendas were, but we don't even have to worry about that when we trust that God is in control, God is good, that God is a giver, that God has a vision and a dream for His church, for His people, for our families.
Yes.
And when we receive, when we position ourselves to receive His vision for our lives and live His dream, that's when we find the most blessed life possible.
That's right.
We give up our own ideas in order to adopt His.
Amen. Last week, Kimberly, you gave such a great teaching on resistors and receivers. And that, I believe that was July the 29th and the 30th. If you listening would like to go and hear a really great teaching on how to go from being a resistor to a receiver, that is where you go, freedomstreet.org. Yes. Oh, praise God. Yes.
Well, thank you for that plug. And thank you, Lord, for the way that you are causing us to become receivers and not resist your work. Thank you, God, for that, for transforming us. You're the only one who can. As He is transforming us, we realize that His grace for us is more than enough.
That's right.
That His strength is perfected in our weakness, and we trust Him.
And He increases His power in the one who is weak. Hallelujah. Causing us to run and not get tired. We got to believe those verses, Kimberly, from the Bible. Got to believe them and activate them and use them and live by them every day. Well, tomorrow I'm looking forward to more of this wonderful teaching. And those of you who are listening, join in with us. God bless you and keep you and take joy.
Thank you for listening to Call to Freedom with Barbara Carmack. You may get in touch with Barbara at Call to Freedom, Box 370-367, Denver, Colorado, 80237. Or you may leave your message at 1-877-917-7256. Call to Freedom is a listener-supported radio ministry. Barbara and her power partners invite you to come on board with us and become a network of hands holding up Call to Freedom Ministry. Power partners support Call to Freedom with prayer and monthly financial support. You will be blessed supernaturally. We invite you to visit Call to Freedom's website, www.freedomstreet.org, where you can hear Barbara's daily radio broadcast 24 hours a day or order materials. You may share your praise reports and heart cries by mailing them to Call to Freedom, Box 370-367, Denver, Colorado, 80237, or you may email us at BarbaraCarmack@freedomstreet.org. Until next time, remember, Jesus loves you, Barbara loves you, and take joy in